Blog Talk Radio.
Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him, he don't die young. He'll probably just ride away.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
Cowboys like smoky old pool rooms and clear mountain mornings,
little warm puppies and children and girls of the night. Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't know how to take it.
He ain't wrong, he's just different, but his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hey, ladies, how are you tonight?
Hello. I feel great, great.
Very good, very good. And Pam, how are you?
I am doing good. Hello, Phil. Hello, Naomi. Good to hear you both.
Yeah, good to hear you too. Uh-huh, absolutely. So, well, I guess I'm going to cut right to the chase. Naomi, tell us all about tonight, what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I was, like, over creative these last weeks. So I put up not one contest, but two contests, one which I thought were complementary to the other. You know, they were both endearing. One was by The Art of Jim Daly, and he had all these beautiful, endearing pictures of childhood, like these children, and, you know, that could bring back all these memories of a wonderful childhood. And on the other side, I had a woman artist by the name of Jurga Ryan, and I just fell in love with her pictures, like her funny art of animals. And yeah, they were really endearing. And I see Pam took one of the pictures, the first picture as her of the cow, and put it, you know, by her name. That's the cow we see there by Pam Ray, is one of the first pictures in the contest. And she had funny titles with each animal. So that was really awesome too. So yeah, so I went with both contests and I'm really happy with the response that I got to both from both. And yeah, and the intro song, well, you know, the cowboy with the ranch, with the farm animals, and don't let your child or your children grow up to be cowboys. So you have the child aspect in that poem too, you know, growing up. So I thought that was a great mix for the two contests for tonight. So yeah. So I'm really excited because we really have some great rights. But I have a few carryovers from my last contest, which was Celebrate the Bright. So I have a few carryovers from that contest that I have to get through.
Cool. Works.
So, like, I think I overdid it tonight.
Well, as long as you had fun doing it, why not, right?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, I had an 8-spot contest, but then I saw the rights started to come in, and I was reading the rights, and I was really liking the rights for both contests, so I kept putting up the amount of entries.
Nice.
I shouldn't have done that maybe, but anyway, I couldn't help myself. I just wanted more and more these delicious rights from people. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I heard that. That's all good. Sometimes we have to do that when we just see we're getting the reactions we want. It's like, yes, yes, more, more, more. More, more.
Yeah. The ranch contest, meanwhile, back at the ranch was slow taking off. So I said, yeah, you know, but I put it up pretty early. So I think I put it up too early. And, you know, so I said, not everybody wants to write to funny little animal pictures, I guess. So I put up the other contest. But, you know, it turned out that people really wrote really, not just funny pictures, poems, but endearing poems as well. So
right.
That was great.
Yeah. It makes it fun that way.
Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of poetry tonight.
Very good. Hey, whenever you are ready, you may kick it off.
Yeah, so the first poem we have up is from Celebrate the Bright. Is a poem, a carryover from Ben Hart. And, this is Broken But Bemused. Dream Eater Lost. And it goes, the rain, come more by eyes peering out from beyond forests of umbrellas black, bloodshot roots running away with them, the images of rain's desperate fight from skyfall that couldn't collapse the iris. Refugees welcomed by human iridescence, light tattooed as warmth within the skin like memory, a thought dreamt up by what can neither think nor dream. Feed but never nourish, destroy but never conquer, be but never stay nor fade, rest but only because it doesn't know decay. It fights to rise and is cast asunder, divides itself without feeling and roams without wonder. It is life without living, reprieve without forgiveness. But every time it somehow knows our warmth, it weeps for how truly it has missed us. Dreamer, hurt. Are you hurt? I'll live. You're bleeding. I'll heal. You're deflecting again. Otherwise, I'd be dying. Is it the shield or the shield that lives? Don't do this. Do what? Make sense of this. Why? Because I want to be lost in it. Three, bemused. Beyond the message, sometimes music stops being sound. and becomes feeling, becomes place, becomes age. Like Henson welcomes the petrichor, where you cannot hear if it's the violin playing whispers or mother humming, giving back lullabies of old to the winds of youth she learned them from. Or Puccini waltzing Musetta down forgotten Parisian streets, past crowds of rain-washed faces, and in their shrunken eyes, envy dies when beauty becomes the dance itself, and not the ones keeping it alive. Beyond the words that music very well may have birthed, it's a dream that just repeats. It goes and forever will keep going. And what is it? What it is or where it has been, it has no need for knowing. For Dream Eater, the ripple. How much of life is a mirror to be glimpsed, perhaps even watched, but to remain forever untouched? Perhaps it's a pool, the very same water, but spread so far, and then even that the ripple simply never reaches. Well, what do you believe? I believe we reflect different things. Enlighten me. I believe you reflect mortality, remaining in fear of never going far enough. And you? I feel reflect infinity, moving as one unseen, without ever looking away from what I was casting back. An impossible emptiness, a garden of stars, and an imperfect God's impossible love. And I mourn not that it exists untouched, because so survives the spark. End poem. And what a, you know, a profound, thought-provoking write by Ben. Wonderful metaphors and imagery throughout, and, you know, amazing, amazing write. And Pam, your thoughts on Ben's write?
Yeah. Oh, as always, it's impressive with its imagery and metaphors, a beautifully written vignette. I really like how this has a philosophical bend to it, and the idea of figuring out what is those things that make us feel alive and what are those things that we need to let go of. I especially like feed but never nourish, destroy but never conquer, be but never stay, nor fade, rest, but only because it doesn't know decay. And another part I really liked was the beyond the music, sometimes music stops being sound and becomes feeling, becomes place, becomes age. Isn't that so true? Oftentimes music does have such a nostalgic feel to it. But an amazing write by Ben all the way through, and very well done.
Oh, indeed. You know, Henson, is it Paul Henson? Or anyway, he wrote the song called The Petrichor. And that's a reference. It's an instrumental piece. And, you know, I like that reference that he put in there, and you know, the reference to the violin playing and the whispers, giving back lullabies of old to the winds of youth she learned them from, you know, talking about the mother humming. Just a beautiful write all the way through. I really love his questioning also, and how much of life is a mirror to be glimpsed, perhaps even watched, but to remain forever untouched. And perhaps it's a pool, the very same water, but spread so far that even that the ripple simply never reaches. You know, that is food for thought right there, my gracious. You know, what if? You know, so, wow, very thought-provoking, right, indeed. And feel your thoughts.
You know, as you were reading this piece, I was saying to myself, God, it's all about the bright kind of thing. And I kept seeing grays and you know, sadness in my ears, you know, or feeling them, not seeing them in my ears. Obviously, that doesn't work. But when I went, I had to go over and look up each one of these prompts because, you know, he has four different ones. And I really think that he met them all nicely. There's one where there's crows or ravens above an image of a silhouette. And I was looking at that, and I'm going, yeah, I can see that. And I looked at the other one, and I said, yeah, I can see that. So I think he met each prompt nicely in this write. I liked the first vignette very much. I thought that was well-written. The second, yes, definitely. You know, Dream Eater hurt. Are you hurt? I'll live. You're bleeding. I'll heal. You're deflecting again. Otherwise, I'd be dying. Is it the shield or the shielded that lives? Don't do this. Do what? Make sense of this. Why? Because I want to be lost in it. I found that to be quite intriguing, that whole little section there. And the narration was good in it. You know, that little bit of a conversation going back and forth between two, like, imaginary people in the poem. I thought it was just well done. You know, great job, Ben, and thanks for sharing with us. You know, and again, you know, the third and the fourth vignette were both as, you know, great as well. It's just, I have trouble picking out which one I really want because, you know, I don't want to, you know, yammer away about nothing. But great job. Great job. And thanks for sharing.
Yeah, amazing, right? Bye, Ben. Thank you so much, Ben, for sharing it. And the next poem we have up, Pam, can you give it a read for us, please? Hello, Pam?
Yep, sorry about that. I just realized I was on mute. All right. I will be absolutely happy to give this a read. And this is The Battle Remains On Till It's Time to Go to Bed by Sinharoy Bishwarup. Venomous battle arena was not and is not a void platter, even going through a continuous fight with own rebellion self. There are still umpteen enticing, colorful beckoning. There is no respite to rummage possibilities lying on luxury, what can win me a skyscraper and what can send me right beneath my soles. Standing on the middle of meager success, borrowing some placidity from a neighboring brook, now it's time to design the next phase. Still bricks from palatial built, the exotic breed of four-wheeler, all wandering through the center point of my thoughtful mind, being hovering dreams. Got to get stuck on up to this merry-go-round. Life has started gaining color. A single one from them shouldn't be missing. Day is yet to dive out. Enough time ahead for going to bed. End poem.
Amazing read, Pam. And I understand we have Laurent with us.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Laurent?
Yes, Ooh. Here he is.
You got to give me a minute. So I'm tangled up in cords, and I don't know why. Okay. Cords. Yeah, look, I just got on. I'm going to have to read it if you can come back to me.
Yeah. No problem. I was just saying hello.
Hello.
And I don't have the prompt number 20. I have to go back and see what that prompt was. But, you know, this is a wonderful write on what I think, you know, the rebellious self, you know, the phases you go through, you know, in life, and, you know, before going to bed, but, you know, just life itself, it can be all the things that you go through, all the phases. You know, I like that last stanza. Got to get stuck up to this merry-go-round. Life has started gaining colors. A single one from them shouldn't be missing. Day is yet to die out. Enough time ahead for going to bed. And I really like that last stanza. Life is really like a merry-go-round, you know. you never know when you're gonna fall off someplace, and it goes fast. And so, what did you think of this write, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a great piece and a really nice take on the prompt. I went and looked up the image. I was going to throw it in the room, but then I got sidetracked for a second. So it's the fellow standing in the middle of like an intersection in the city.
Okay, I remember that one. Yeah.
And I did feel that it was a good take on that prompt. Well written, and something about it just takes you. When you look at the image, you go, okay, I can get this. It all works together. At first, you kind of think twice. But I am standing in the middle of meager success, borrowing some placidity from the neighboring brook. Now it's time to design the next phase. Still, bricks from palatial built, the exotic breed of four-wheeler, all wandering around the center point of my thoughtful mind, being hovering dreams. I thought that was... a good stanza to go against that prompt, you know, and I think it fit in a little here, like what can win me skyscraper, and what can send me right beneath my souls. So there's a lot in here that really does draw on the image. It doesn't need the image, but you can definitely see how it relates to it. And I think that's pretty awesome for the contest. So well done. And thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful comment there, Phil, and thank you for looking up the prompt. And what did you think, Pam? That was a great read, by the way.
Well, thank you. I thought this was a wonderful write. Strong imagery and metaphors. To me, it spoke on the rat race of life that sends people running in circles. And I especially got that idea with when he brings in the imagery of the merry-go-round. But I do particularly like standing on the middle of meager success, borrowing some placidity from a neighboring brook. Now it's time to design the next phase. Still bricks from palatial built, the exotic breed of four-wheeler. It's like the idea that we're just, we get to the point where the natural isn't good enough. We need to build it bigger and better. So wonderful, right? And very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment, Cam. And a kind poet says, is anyone having trouble with the broadcast breaking up?
We're all on the air, so.
Yeah, well, I didn't notice anything.
Well, yeah, because we probably wouldn't, because we're not listening, like, you know, like Gene said, we're not, yeah.
You're plugged in.
Exactly.
I have to agree with Pam. To a certain extent, well, no, all the way. The vehement battle arena was not and is not a void planet. So, no, the battle for success in life, in business, and you know, this, given the cultural background of this individual, their understanding of the need for education to escape the rat race that so many of them live in, the overcrowding, the desperate poverty, et cetera, et cetera. It's really something to move up and get a job. And it is very much an arena because it is a continuous fight. Even with parts of you that say, don't do this, I will do this. You can't succeed. You will succeed. That's the back and forth, the angel and the devil on each shoulder. What can win me skyscraper? What can win me that great corner office high up in the sky? What can make me a success? And what can also defeat me, send me right beneath my soles? Now, here we have standing on the middle of meager success. In other words, he's had some success up to this point. And what does he use as a signal of his success? The exotic breed of four-wheeler. Four-wheelers are very big in India for some reason. He has to face up to the merry-go-round, the whirling imagery and circumstance and happenstance that makes up life. Life has started gaining colors. It's no more a gray landscape of poverty. Now we have something that begins to be precious, colorful. There's a little something in your life, materially speaking, perhaps emotionally or spiritually speaking. But there's not a single color that shouldn't be missing, as he says, enough time before going to bed. So all you do is work, 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 succeed, succeed, and then it's time for bed. Ooh, it's quite a poem.
Oh, awesome comment, Laurent. Super comment. And, very, very thought-provoking, right, for sure. Well written. And thank you so, so much for sharing. And our next poem, I'll get you, Phil, to read it, because the other one I'll get Laurent to read. So if you can read the next one, please.
Sure. Okay, this is called Skyward Dreams by Zulfikar Hamdam Awan. Beneath the stars, I cast my eye. Aiming high, I sought to touch the sky. They told me dreams should be vast, but my dream and I couldn't make it last. With each attempt, I reached so high, yet my dream would falter. It would not comply. I wondered if dreams could be confined to lofty realms or the heart and mind. In reflection, I began to see dreams need not just aim to be free. Sometimes they flourish close at hand in the warmth of a touch or a simple strand. So the theme is clear, let me impart. Dreams aren't just found in a distant chart. In life's details, they softly sigh, aiming high, yet grounded, they'll truly fly. End poem.
Oh, I really like this write a lot. Very philosophical. Philosophical. Oh, my gracious, tonight. Wonderful write with a very meaningful message. You know, those dreams sometimes. Yeah, I just like when he says sometimes they flourish close at hand in a warmth of a touch or a simple strand. And, dreams aren't just found in a distant chart. In life's details, they softly sigh, aiming high yet grounded, they'll truly fly. So, yeah, aim high, but stay grounded. And make those dreams come true. And I think that's so true. You know, sometimes you have to always aim high, but you have to be realistic too. And, follow your heart, but follow your mind too. So, follow reason, follow your heart, but follow your reason. And, very well written poem. And what did you think? I'll start off with you, Laha.
Well, if your reach exceeds your grasp, you'll never be able to realize your dreams. With each attempt, I reach so high that my dream would falter and would not comply. In reflection, I began to see dreams need not just aim to be free. Sometimes they flourish close at hand, the warmth of a touch or a simple strand. And that's it, you know. How many times have we gone far afield searching for the very thing that we desired, only to find it right at home? I've seen it happen. It's happened to all of us, I think. I like the way he said that. I like the theme of it. I like the way it was written. very nice.
Absolutely. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this has great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I do like how, as you were saying, Naomi, that it speaks on being grounded and yet aiming high while within your dreams. I really like, with each attempt I reach so high, yet my dream would falter. It would not comply. I wonder if dreams should be confined to lofty realms or the heart and mind. Wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with Lauren and Pam. You know, great. I thought it was a great rhyming poem, number one. I wasn't sure which prompt inspired him, but it brought the very first image to mind because of the swirl and, you know, the drifting in that image. And, you know, I have to agree. I agree with, Pam and Laurent on the stanzas they grabbed as well, because I started out with each attempt I reached so high, yet my dream would falter. It would not comply. I wondered if dreams should be confined to lofty realms or the heart and mind. In reflection, I began to see dreams need not just aim to be free. Sometimes they flourish close at hand in the warmth of a touch or a simple strand. And I thought that those two stanzas were nicely, they were all nicely done, but I like the way they fit together and kind of congealed the so I liked it very much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Phil. And I have our next poem up, and Laurent, it's pretty long, but I know you can do it. Go ahead.
Naomi, there's no poem on earth that I'll ever run into that is as long as the one that Jean wished on me the other night by Poetic Picasso.
What,
4 minutes to read? 4 minutes?
Nah. It felt like 44.
I'm broken in.
It was
I'm like a mule that's been broken in, broken to harness. Okay. Let me find this, this epic length of yours.
I'm definitely biting my lip.
Yehoshua Aliyeh gives us it's a job. Ouch, into the alley for a walk. Walk? More of a trudge. A sack is pulling hard. This weave allows the sand in and out behind, dragging me to stay. A hand stretched back. Little parcels of unknown content pile and clank inside. No matter. Let me see. A few stones, but mostly sand. My shoes agape. Looks to the side. The wall encamped some plastic peeling, revealing bricks of mud and straw. Eyes up, just so. Few people, makeshift stalls, scrawny kids. Beware, they may attack. Number I know, pass by. Look up, the edges of stained laundry flapping. More, but I can't straighten bending back beneath my heavy wooden cargo. Turn left, the street a little broader, less sand, more cobbles. Not much of an improvement as bumps my soul to pain. And heat walk limps and hollows onto square. For hundreds of the species male are huddling, bartering, threatening, fighting, dividing, clustering, petting, ogling, mocking, and throbbing, but no real shouting for fear of justice. If you complain to cops, they beat you for your insolence. But if the crowd grew too noisy, they would come and beat the lot with wooden stuffs. Have you considered killing all the males? Not going to help. Babies will grow up and be the same. Ah. Set up from my aching back, I unpack. Set the slabs of wood on the floor. And on top, erect my beautiful door. I think it is magnificent. I really do. It is squarish and wide. Wider than the span of my two outstretched hands. And half a leg taller than the tallest man. Only 4 inches thick. Made of 2 equal-sized slabs that perfectly fit. dark, deep oak fairy cross. It is perfect. Today, now, all I have to do is sell it. Easier said than done, you come to talk. Some I ask, and later implore, and they complain so much and more. No ornaments, how plain. The color too bland, it is too big, it is too small, too heavy. It will not do. The price is steep. Of that I do agree. It's steep indeed. A third of a lifetime is truly much. I can do payments, but no discount. The day drags on, and hot is hotter more. When air meets sweat and dirt and tempers flare, the hawker's hawks are no avail as day just fades away. There's the rain, but no relief from water pours as it is hot and muddy more. And as I stand in empty square, I feel despair. Therefore, I turn towards the door. It opens smooth as buttermilk. I enter in and close behind. There is no room but all the space. No light but vision fine. No rain or fear, a snuggled ear, a place to be, feed and grow. I stretch and curl, I rest, I play. It is morning. Open door to empty square. What shall I sell today? And then.
Wonderful read, Lorraine. And, you know, I read the AN, and, you know, this is a dream, a story, a poem about a dream. And, yeah, and in the dream, his role, his job is to sell sleep to people. And the price of that sleep is half a lifetime. So, you know, I thought the concept was so, you know, uniquely creative, and yeah, the read was really, you know, amazing. And you know, I loved, you know, all through his voyage, you know, to set up his like the door, you know. And but I love the last part, you know, it opens smooth as buttermilk. I enter in and close behind. There is no room but all of space, no light but vision fine, no rain or fear or snuggle dear, place to be to feel and grow. I stretch and curl, I rest, I play, it is morning. So, you know, he finds sleep himself, you know. So that's what he's selling, and that's what's behind the door. And that prompt that he wrote to was a picture of a door.
Hmm.
So, yeah, what did you think, Pam, about this, right?
I like this. First of all, what a fascinating dream that he had. I really like his attention to detail and how he keeps the reader's interest throughout and brings us, you know, into the dreaming mind with all the complexities in the story. Which seems to come across the idea of being, you know, like what happens when you're in control of a greater power than you can handle. And, you know, so, but, yeah, just a really intriguing write and very well done.
Absolutely. And then, Jill, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice take on the prompt, and it was nicely penned. I have to say that. And I grabbed the stanza, the door. The door. No. Was it the door? No, it wasn't the door. That's not what it was called. That was how it ended. The day. Now, all I have to do is sell it. Easier said than done. Few come to talk. Some I ask and later implore, and they complain. So much and more. No ornaments. How plain. The color, too bland. It is too big, it is too small, too heavy. It will not do. The price is sleep. Of that I do agree. It's steep indeed. A third of a lifetime is truly harsh. I can do payments, but no discount. You know, and I took it all the way down to the word door. I thought that was just, I don't know, I thought it brought things into perspective a little bit more in that section for everyone to kind of start to catch on, you know, if they didn't catch on before. Because I didn't catch on before. I'm not going to lie. So, great job and a nice share.
Yeah, wonderful comment there, Phil. And Laha, you read that so wonderfully. What did you think of the write?
Forever.
Laha?
I was on mute. I was on mute. I got off mute. Sorry. No penalties. I'm glad to find out that this was inspired by a dream. When one dreams, at least in my experience, the oddest of imagery and occasions and moments are juxtaposed with each other in a way that somehow seems to make sense. They don't seem too jarring. You know, one thing can be entirely different from the next. They flow together seamlessly in dreams. And so does the imagery, very successfully rendered in this particular poem. It goes from odd thing into the alley for a walk. Now he's dragging something heavy. We find out it's a door. He's hawking doors. But then it moves, of course, into the realm of sleep, especially when he says a third of a lifetime, which is, you know, the amount that we sleep in life usually. A whole third of a lifetime. And at that point, the poem gets, as Pam said, very intriguing. Very, very interesting. And the last stanza, the door, it opens smooth as buttermilk, the one that you quoted earlier. That resolves the entire thing. And at that point, the fascination grows even more because the concept becomes very, very clear. I applaud the poem.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Laha. And, you know, this was, you know, yeah, the poem was full of imagery, full of wonderful details. You know, just amazing, amazing, right? Very, and a very creative and unique idea put on paper. So I applaud it. And our next write, we're drifting into the Once a Child contest now. So the next write I have up will be by Dark and Doris, and it's called Can We Keep Them? And it goes like this. I never had many friends as a child. I was a loner, shy and meek. I found company in the form of animals, something I would often seek. Can we keep them? A question all too familiar to my mom, a single parent. I promise I would take care of them, but to her it was quite apparent. She knew she would be stuck with the care. After all was said and done in the end, but I loved her so much for saying yes, or I guess, for she provided me a new best friend. Turtles I found on the side of the road, a hamster I found in the trash, a puppy, and even some kittens we had to hide like a sash. Animals always helped keep me calm. There was always so much to enjoy. They made me feel like I wasn't alone, and they took me to a world of joy. End poem. And, you know, looking at that picture, I swear my mom, when she was young and she was blonde, she was still blonde, she had the exact kind of picture, photograph of her holding a cat. And, you know, that really struck when I saw that picture. But I really like this poem by Dark and Doris. You know, made me think of my mother and her love for animals. Oh my gracious, you know, she's always saving something somewhere. And you know, she's always feeding the stray cats and feeding the birds, and then the cats eat the birds. But anyway. But, you know, my mom is just, it made me think of my mom, this poem. Wonderful write here by Dark and Doris. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is definitely a beautiful write by Dark and Doris. Great rhyme, wonderful imagery. I love the nostalgic feel of it and how she takes us back in time and speaks on what it's like to be a shy and Lonely Child. But, you know, it speaks to me on how important pets are and a loving parent in the life of a child who has difficulty socializing and feels like they need someone to bring them love and comfort. And I always really like the last stanza. But I also like the bit of humor, and she knew she would be stuck with the care after all was said and done in the end, but I loved her so much for saying yes, or I guess, for she provided me a new best friend. What a wonderful write, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Sheila, your thoughts?
You know, I like this piece a lot. You know, I thought this, it was a great write by Dark and Doris. I love the tale told in the piece. Sorry. Pets can be so comforting to someone. And I, you know, I was with Pam there. Can we keep them? A question all too familiar to my mom, a single parent. I promised I would take care of them. But to her, it was quite apparent. She knew she would be stuck with the care after all was said and done in the end. But I loved her so much for saying yes, or I guess, for she provided me with a new best friend. You know, animals can be so calming. You know, when I worked at the nursing home, you know, we had pet therapy, and people would come in mm-hmm. with their pets and animals, and it was soothing to the residents. So, I mean, I love that. And it's true, you know, all ages. So great piece, Dark and Doris, and thanks for sharing with us.
Well, absolutely, Philly, and I love that you said that because, you know, at all ages, because, yeah, they bring so much comfort, and they bring us a company that you know, we so need in life, so many need. And Laha, what did you think?
Well, you guys have made that. Some pretty decent comments on this piece. I'm not sure what else there is to say, except that most parents, when they hear, can we keep him or can we keep it? I mean, they kind of welcome that question, but there's a secret dread inside because as the poem so eloquently states, you know who's going to take care of it, right? But they hear, can we keep them? And them in plural can be almost worse, but, you know, for a child who needs animals, as a comfort, because they're there alone, shy and meek, as the poem says, it's a real boon. It's learning how to be loved and how to give love. It satisfies a great need in them. And I think that animals are so important to us, and I hate the way many of them are treated. Lovely piece.
Oh, yeah, they're part of growing up, I think. They're part of learning about it. Empathy, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love towards another living person. Yeah, responsibility, too.
And it also is a reflection of that, the beauty of unconditional love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Unconditional.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We can all learn, so. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have our next write-up by Danielle Zwam. And Pam, if you can give that a read,
please. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. All right. Youth Gone by Danielle Duhane. In the summers of my youth, we danced and played and dreamed to get old. But when it came, we dreamed of being young again. Funny how time seemed to change things. I remember cotton candy fairs and drinking lemonade under a tree as roller coasters zoomed by with the smell of candy apples reaching your nose in an almost hypnotizing state. I remember my first kiss that tasted like I had kissed an angel because it was so uplifting as my lips touched her cheek. I remember dressing up for Halloween, which was the only night of the year to become someone else. I remember gathering snow together to build a snowman and a fort for snowball fights. It all seems like a dream that we had wished never ended. But getting older, we lost our innocence, left in the book of our life as forgotten days of being carefree. Build me a starship so I can enter a black hole into the world where I once was a youth. And let me stay there until time is done so that I may only play forever in daydreams. End poem.
Oh, the wonderful read there, Pam. And, you know, I so like this write by Daniel Zam. You know, he brings us through so many memories of a childhood. We just feel like we're back there. And, you know, that ending stanza is so heartwarming, you know. Build me a starship so I can enter a black hole, you know, and go back there, go back to the, you know, so that I may only play forever in daydreams. Yeah, we lose our, like that innocence, you know, when we get older, you know, as we become more and more rational, we lose that lovely state that we are in when we're young. So I think he illustrates it so well in this poem. And Phil, what did you think of Danielle's poem?
You know, I really liked the poem. I was like, okay, what prompt could this be? Because, you know, I don't have them all memorized. And I went and I looked, and it was the one about the snowman. And I think he captured that beautifully. But I enjoyed the reminiscence in this piece, you know, all the different angles that he's spoken about. You know, his first kiss, dressing up for Halloween, the fairs, you know, and the summers. You know, that was the thing when it said summers, and all of a sudden I'm going, okay, what's the problem? I looked and I saw the snowman. I'm like, whoa. And we hadn't yet gotten to the stanza about the snowman. I was like, okay. But I think it was just really a great piece and very enjoyable. So excellent job, Daniel, and thank you very much for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Daniel. Wonderful comment, Phil. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, Daniel visits so many relatable touchstones of our youth, things that we can share in and remember and delight. The important little things, and in language that is quite interesting. Build me a starship so I can enter a black hole into the void where I once was a youth. How many of us yearn for those salad days when, as Dylan Thomas says, we were green and merry about the windrows of the, I forget what the line is, but we were green and young, running with the sun, and that's what we have here. A remembrance of those moments that are so important to him and so important to all of us, which is what makes it such a satisfying poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Laurent. And, and wonderful write, Daniel. So thanks so much for sharing it with us. And the next poem I have up is by Randy G., and Phil, if you want to go ahead and give it a read.
Sure thing. You know, I have to mention, Kind Poet's been commenting in the room since this started, so I hope they're making it to the poems. But she said about this last poem by Daniel, this poem mirrors my own sadness about the loss of innocence. Yes, yet that is just the part of life I could imagine, the snowball fights and the Halloween costumes in this poem. So she said it was lovely. So just so Daniel gets to hear it, I'm not sure if it's on the poem itself. Okay, so let me see. This is called Nostalgia by Randy G. Where is Randy G? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Where in the world is Randy G?
That's right. He's running around with Carmen Sandiego. That's where he is. Okay. The death of a parent can make you wax poetic, as your warnings now seem accurately prophetic. But back then were just perceived as idle words, said to cramp your style or so never really heard, and so never really heard. Back in your old home again, looking all around, memories flood over you on old familiar ground. The banister you slid down to mom's displeasure, Dad's bowling trophies that he proudly treasured, peering out the kitchen window at the tree swing and the field beyond with its cool trickling spring. We caught crawdads with a youthful pride, chased rabbits, never catching one, but still tried. You continue pondering the happy wonder years, carefree and unbridled and without today's fears, with nurturing parents who always tried their best, right to the moment when you finally flew the nest. Then headed up to the attic, filled with family junk, furniture, clothes, nostalgia stored away in trunks. You open one, a ball glove, yo-yo, old favorite toys, saved by mom, now fill your broken heart with joy. End poem.
I can, you know, I love Pine Poet's comment there, that she, when she says, I could imagine your trip to the attic and the relics that you found there. Yeah, and you know, there's something so heartwarming about this poem. You know, the death of a parent can make you wax poetic. You know, so I think, you know, maybe a parent passed away and they're revisiting their home. They tumble on all these things that their, you know, their mother tucked away or their parents tucked away, saved by mom. Yeah, the mother tucked away in the attic all the old memories, all the old toys that they had. You know, the baseball glove, the yo-yo and all those favorite toys that for them, for parents, they're the treasures, they're the memories of their children. And yeah, nostalgia is a perfect title for this poem. And what a wonderful write to that poem. And Pam, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write. Wonderful rhyme and imagery. I really like the nostalgia in it, but how it's more than just nostalgic. It's that when, you know, when a parent does pass away and you have to go through the stuff in their house, and, you know, it brings back all those memories, and a lot of it is good memories. You know, the playing in childhood, you know, as you said, you continue pondering the happy wonder days, years carefree and unbridled and without today's fears. And that is so true. But you also think of those times where you flew the nest, moved forward, which can be great times, but at the same time, there's this kind of sadness of letting go, and also of looking back and you know, wondering, you know, if you were always, you know, the best person you could have been. You know, it just is, to me, a story on growth and a very emotive write on the memories that come flooding back. So, wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And Lorraine, your thoughts?
Oh, I got a really coughing. I'll be happy to talk. Sorry. By the time we're old enough to have lost a parent through the normal aging process, we almost have become our parents. So we can look at the return to the old home, the point of view of a child who grew up there, a child who recalls those memories, yet something deeper, you begin to realize exactly what was important to your parents as you look at the, quote-unquote, family junk in the attic. Excuse me. A ball glove, yo-yo, old favorite toys saved by mom. Now fill your broken heart with joy, because it recalls your youth. And that's, of course, a common theme in most of these poems tonight. The memories fled over you, an old familiar ground. And if all those memories do come back, So he communicates that very, very well with us. Good piece.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Laurent. And Phil, your thoughts.
You know, I thought this was great, and I could so relate to it. You know, I had an attic loaded with so many memories when my mom passed. I think she had every toy she ever bought me. I swear. On top of that, she bought my sister. It was, like, kind of interesting. A little bit obsessive, but, you know, they were all there. So I could kind of relate to that. You go up there, and you go, oh, my goodness. You know, and you laugh at this, and you smile at that, and other things. You just kind of shake your head, like, why? But, yeah, I liked his last two stanzas of this. I think that, you know, the very last one, of course, you know, ties in so beautifully to the image he chose. But the whole poem is great, and I really liked it very much. So great job there, Randy, and thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And the next poem, Laurent, I'll get you to read it, by Jody Melton.
All right. 1 second. Okay. Sorry, I aspirated something and it's still going after me. More than a game to me. When days were young and skies were bold, and tales of youth, a story unfolds, boyish charm and fields of grace. Life was slow, not this fast-paced race. In the land where summer breeze did blow, I found my first love, my heart aglow. Leather and stitches, the dance of the ball, baseball, my mentor, taught me all. The crack of the bat, ball flying 200 feet, in dust and sun where shadows meet, lessons were etched in diamonds' embrace. With every swing, we grew closer to the chase. You taught me valor, to stand with pride, face my fears, not to hide. Every strike, challenge met, to rise above and sweat it wrecked. Field, a canvas painted in dreams, a world where sunlight softly gleams, through highs and lows, it sculpted my soul, molded my spirit, made me whole. I learned of failure, tasted defeat, but also of victory, though so sweet. Baseball whispered wisdom's pure, gave me strength to endure, to mature. In the hush of dusk and twilight's kiss, I reminisce about those days of bliss, when bases were run and victory was sought. In this wondrous game, life's truths were taught. Through the winding of years now past, the essence of those lessons lasts. I carry the echoes, the joy, the strife, the love for the game, through all my life. The game plays on, a nostalgic tune, under the soft, glowing moon. Bittersweet memories without fingerprints, slowly raising, we had to let go. But its poise of summer went out with our guns blazing. A baseball, a buoyant find its fate. In its embrace, I learned to relate, to live, to love, to never cease. Play the game, find my peace. End poem.
What a wonderful read, Laurent. Wow. And, you know, I had to put up this piece tonight because, you know, this is just amazing. And all in rhyme, too. Oh, my gracious, I don't know how he did it. But, you know, what a wonderful piece, you know, by Jody this is. And, you know, baseball was my sport when I was growing up. And, you know, I even competed in the regionals and everything here. And, you know, it teaches you so much. Any sport does. You know, it teaches you so many lessons in life, you know, on losing, on winning, on, you know, just, you know, the camaraderie between your teammates, I can understand this poem, you know, how it teaches lessons in life that stay with you all through your older years, all through your life, you know. That's the beginning, you know, the sports that you play when you're young. And so wonderful, wonderful, right? And so well written. And what did you think, Phil?
Yeah, I thought this was an awesome write. My grandson plays baseball all the time. You know, he's been playing since he was like knee high to a grasshopper. But I thought it was just a wonderful draw on the prompts. Great rhyme and wonderful memories shared in the piece. I thought it was just, I don't know, I just thought it was an excellent share for the show tonight and a really well-written poem. So thank you so much, Jody, for sharing with us. Great job.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful, right? And wonderful comment, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful rhyming poem. I really like the imagery in this and the storytelling and how he speaks on the importance of baseball in a young man's life. I really like particularly, I learned a failure tasted defeat, but also a victory oh so sweet. Baseball whispered wisdom's pure, gave me strength to endure, to mature. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Well said there, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And Lahai, your thoughts?
Being part of a sports team is a very special thing. You've got brothers all of a sudden, and you're going to war, so to speak. Baseball, though, is a little unique in terms of team sports. The pace is far, far different, I think. Yes, cricket resembles baseball, but they are entirely different. And to see the appreciation that this young man has for baseball, be able to relate what it taught him, how it enriched his life. I learned a failure tasted defeat, but also a victory oh so sweet. Baseball whispered wisdom's pure, gave me strength to endure, to mature. It very much teaches you disciplines that you need in life, if you take the game to heart, of course. And to him, baseball was something very, very special. I love the last stanza, to play the game, to find my peace. You know, when you're in that moment, it's a magic moment, and all is well with the world. And I like that. Great, great poem.
Wow. Absolutely wonderful comment, Johan. And we have kind poets right up next. And I don't know, I guess it's my turn to read. This is 1983. I was just a girl of four. Innocence surrounded me with a little kitten, a darling pup, and Raggedy Ann. Lettered blocks spelled my name with brilliance, ignoring my illiteracy as I learned to think. Annie Lennox sang about her sweet dreams while Big Bird and Grover schooled me with their street smarts. Prince and Michael Jackson danced within the purple rain that fell inside our only color TV as Billie Jean claimed her fame. My brain absorbed stuff with a soaked sponge, but no one squeezed out the excess fluid. Now I lie here with my helpful iPhone while these memories soften my hardened perception, letting me honor my girlhood. End poem. And I really like what she says in her AN about, you know, you know, she remembers, reminds me of the child, her childhood kitten, her lettered blocks, and a Raggedy Ann that I may have owned. you know, 1983 was exactly four decades ago. It amazes me that I can remember the things that I mention in this poem. And, yeah, you know, me too, I remember, you know, those blocks, oh my gracious, those wooden blocks. And I don't know, me neither. I don't remember if I had a Raggedy Ann or not. Kind of do remember a bit, but maybe, I don't know. I'm like her. I don't know if I had one or not. But, of course, I remember, you know, all the things like Sesame Street. And, yeah, well, it was a little bit older for me than I was a little bit older when Prince and Michael Jackson, The Purple Rain came out, and Billie Jean, I was a little bit older. But, yeah, I remember those things, too. So wonderful, wonderful poem here. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was beautiful, very relatable. And just like you, I was a little bit older, too. But I still connected with a lot of this imagery, especially, you know, Prince and Michael Jackson danced within the purple rain. And, you know, the connection to the music of the time. And, you know, how, you know, you had your favorite toys, you had your favorite pets, and, you know, it just, again, another wonderful nostalgic feel. But I like how she brings in the idea that it was about the good memories created, but it was also about how she was learning and growing as a person. And a wonderful ending. With the thought of, you know, the helpful iPhone. Now I lie here with my helpful iPhone while these memories soften my heart and perception, letting me honor my girlhood. You know, and you know, I mean, that's the thing is with technology, it can be useful and, you know, great thing to have because it does give us the opportunity to share these beautiful moments in our life with other people that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. So what wonderful, right, and very well done.
Very well said there, Pam. An excellent comment. And what about you, Laurent? Did you own a Raggedy Ann?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we had Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy. I do remember
it's
them.
True.
They got real tired over a period of time to the point where they could no longer be fixed. It's a pity they went their way. Yeah, everything in this poem is very much relatable. The Big Bird, all the Sesame Streets, Prince Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. It was a moment, wasn't it? But you know what? When she says, now I lie here with my helpful iPhone. Helpful in what way? Well, that's when she gets all information. The world is in her palm. And I wonder if she still absorbs stuff like a soap sponge. But she says, soften my hardened perception. These memories soften my hardened perception. You know, she's growing up. She's becoming an adult. She's learning that life is not all peaches and cream. And, it lets her honor her girlhood, and she can just be a girl, enjoy the simple things. Whereas now, 40 years old, that's a hard time for almost any man or woman. Great piece.
Wonderfully said there, Laura. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a great story told by a kind poet. Nice look back at childhood. And so many good points remembered. I thought it was well done, and I really enjoyed the piece. I feel old. I can't put Michael Jackson and Prince in the same space as Sesame Street, so I feel really old because by the time Michael Jackson and Prince, Sesame Street was like, well, it was never my thing anyway. It was my sister. That was her generation. So I thought, yeah, it made me chuckle for a second. I went, oh, wait a minute now. Yeah, so but a great job, kind poet. A good memory shared here, so thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, kind poet. That was a real pleasure to read that poem and brought back so many memories. Thank you so much. And for our next poem, Laura, I have your poem up. So whenever you're ready, give it a read for us. Off mute, Laura?
Yeah, boy, I blew that one. Okay. You got me. Penalty. When I look at the prompts, prompt number 7 showed a boy and a girl about this age, tire swing, or an old tire swing. And I couldn't help but think of this particular swing. Now, the tone and the energy in the two poems is probably different because, well, the other imagery bespeaks a young love, a shy love. But here we have something different, called Riding the Devil's Swing. Small town America awoke, its rosy cheeks in flower, smiling with a summer hunger for an early day. Piston legs surged, clattering out of bedrooms, down wide banister stairs, green screen doors clapped to escape, air golden with morning's impossible. Pumping pedals standing, driving the distances with a flourish of youth, young hearts filled with first need. She was Sarah. He was David. They were 7th grade, uncertainly magnetized to each other. Tires locked gravel and sliding, skidding stops. Smith's Creek and an old man oak awaited. Devil's Swing hanging from the mighty tooth of an outcropping branch, listing slowly over the winding flow 20 feet below. Foolish day had finally arrived. Her breath came quickly. Suddenly fearful, Sarah glanced at David, bare feet digging at the dewed grass, soft green eyes pleading for take-backs. So sternly, he slowly shook his tousled head in mock gravity. Long moment passed between them. David's smiling eyes said, trust me. His low bow ushered her aboard the plank named Devil's Spinny. For surely you tempted him in full flight. Settled, they began, knees bending, hands pulling, working momentum. David lengthened the arc gradually, grinning hugely, pulling hard for apogee. As Sarah strained her credulity, eyes saucer wide, lips pursed, in what have I done? Anticipation of disaster. Flying out over the heights, two bluebird soared in the grace of a time frozen in memory, stirred to life on their 50th wedding anniversary. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read. And what a beautiful write. Oh, there's so many things that I like about this write. Small town America awoke, its rosy cheeks and flowers, smiling with a summer hunger for an early day. I like how you personified, you know, that small town awakening there. And piston legs, it surged, clattering out of bedrooms, down wide banister stores. Green screen doors clapped escape. That is just amazing. They clapped escape because, we ran down those stairs and, you know, just those screen doors just, you know, they just bashed back. Clothes and, you know, we were escaping away from home, you know, and into a morning of impossibility. Yeah, that is so true. Man, I just love the way, you know, you put this whole write together. Just amazing. And, you know, they're still together today. And, you know, the Devil's Swing, they really did, you know, swing from youth to, you know, 50 years, you know, later, well, 50 years after their wedding. So, you know, they did take that plunge, that from that swing and plunge into marriage, mm-hmm. and here they are again today. So just amazing, right, how you put this all together. It's just so so endearing and so such a wonderful right, Laurent. And what do you think, Pam? Oh, wonderful right. Thank you so much for bringing this tonight. Yes, Pam, go ahead.
This is amazing. It works so very well with the Norman Rockwell painting, and it also works really well for tonight's show. And I like how in that first line of with the word small town America awoke in rosy cheeks and flowers, you really capture the whole feeling of what it was like with Norman Rockwell's representation. It had almost a dreamlike quality because it was so nostalgic, such a presentation of a perfect world that really didn't exist, because sometimes, especially young love and the discovery of young love and sensual feelings can be awkward. But I like how you bring up two young people who grow and who learn about love together and learn about each other and realize their connection. And of course, it is wonderful that they stirred to life on their 50th wedding anniversary. I really like this all the way through. But I have to say that I particularly was drawn to Foolish Day Had Finally Arrived. Her breath came quickly. Suddenly fearful, Sarah glanced at David, bare feet digging at the dewed grass, soft green eyes pleading for takebacks. Sternly, he slowly shook his tousled head in mock gravity. So it speaks on the game of love and how at times it can be both thrilling and almost feel like, like dangerous, like you just want to back away because you don't know what exactly is happening to yourself. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Wonderful comment, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Yeah, what they said. No, I'm kidding. I thought this was a great one. I really enjoyed the piece, and it was very endearing. Well done, wonderful story told. And I love the ending in this. I thought that was excellent. It's after that first chance they took, why not get married? You know what I mean? They were just, I mean, it's just that's it was a great tale. So, good job, Laurent.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful addition to the show tonight. Thank you so much, Laurent. And the next poem we have up is by Little Lulu, and it's called Wind Up Doll. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us.
Absolutely. Mama tried to instruct her on how little girls should be. Daddy tried to dominate her because she was wild and free. She was forced to endure it while attending a grade school. Her teachers tried to conform her to live by their strict rules. Her smiles were contagious. Her independence was her own. But the adults called her willful. To complacence she hadn't shown. Exasperately, they truly were, by the spirit of this child, determined they were on taming her. In their eyes, she remained wild. They called in a specialist to tell them what was wrong. He shook his head regrettably, saying she did not belong. He said she needed therapy to delve deep into her head, to find out why she did those things and said the things she said. At first, her smiles were sunny, and she glowed with happiness, yet the adults would soon control her, for they knew what was best. The changes in her were subtle. On the surface, they did not show. Then the light inside grew dimmer, and she lost her inner glow. She now performs on cue, their most precious little love. She is the apple of their eye, the kind they'd always dreamed of. Misbehavior is now unheard of for one so wooden small. She complies with their every wish, their darling little wind-up doll. End poem.
Yeah, and I like Rayanne, you know, where she says, not all childhood memories are full of happy days, love, and hope. Not all parents bring simple and loving joy to a child's world. And, yeah, it's so true. Yeah, I remember, you know, this makes me think of my daughter, my middle daughter named Kim, and she had this incredible imagination. She had these imaginary friends and imaginary pets, and people thought she was crazy, really. But, you know, I just thought she was, you know, uniquely herself, you know. But the school, of course, they had her meet with specialists and all that. And I remember one of the psychiatrists saying, she has too much imagination. And I went, what? How can, you know, a child have too much imagination? My gracious, you know. So, yeah, and so this made me think of that. But, yeah, there are childhoods that are less sunny than others, for sure. And this is a wonderful, wonderful write for tonight. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, the piece itself was sad, you know, because of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Her smiles were contagious. Her independence was her own. But the adults called her willful for complacence she hadn't shown. Exasperated, they truly were by the spirit of this child, determined they were on taming her. In their eyes, she remained wild. You know, it's sad because, you know, well, I can't imagine how many situations are really that way. But I know there's more than a few. And then when you get to that last stanza, I mean, it really hits home. So now she now performs on cue, their most precious little love. She is the apple of their eye, the kind they always dreamed of. Misbehavior is now unheard of for one so wooden small. She complies with their every wish, their darling little wind-up doll. Sad. It's sad because, you know, it's just, she's just a puppet. She just does what she's told. That's it. You know, it sounds like they broke her, and it's a shame. It's really a shame. So very well written, little Lulu, and thanks for sharing with us. Great piece.
Absolutely. Well said there, Phil. And who did I not ask? Lorraine, what are your thoughts on this poem?
Well, I do agree with Jean. I was going to quote the same stanza that she did about two parents who wanted a cookie-cutter child, you know, you can't just stamp them out of a mold there and they're going to be exactly who you want them to be. You have to let them be their own person. I mean, teach them more your morals, your values, teach them judgment, etc. To the end, the person has to be who they are, to the extent that they can be, within, you know, normal rules, I guess. But no, she got, as Jean said, broken in spirit, and now she was just a vacant-eyed, darling little lineup doll. Very moving piece.
Wonderfully said there, Laha. And a wonderful write by little Lulu, you know, that reality that she brought up tonight. And, yeah, you know, not childhoods are happy, go lucky, and carefree and wonderful. So true. And so wonderful, wonderful write. Did I ask you, Pam, to comment? Hello, Pam?
Hello. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I don't remember. But I think it's a brilliant write, and I'll just say that to me, it has great rhyme, wonderful imagery, and is a powerful write. And it is such a sad thing that the inner light of a creative child should be crushed just because adults feel that they should fit into a certain mold. So amazing write mm-hmm. and very well done.
Absolutely. And then the next write I have up is by Oshini, and it has a SoundCloud.
And what's it called?
Ode to Writing.
Okay. All right.
This poem is entitled Ode to Writing by Oshin Wright. O writing, you have been a shelter in the time of storm. Like a comfy sweater, you also keep me warm. You have been a road map, saving me from the hands of harm. As you teach me how to view life's pain outside the confines of the norm. During my childhood days, you've helped me to find strength while being a trusted companion and a loyal friend. You've been a strong and enduring pillar to me, a motivator, a confidant, and my survival key. All writing, your aid is not in vain, for you have helped me overcome the piercing chains of pain. So cheers to you from a grateful heart. From your warm embrace, I'll never depart.
What a wonderful voice, Ashini. I heard her voice for the first time on Keeping It Brief the other day, and she talks with so much passion. Oh my gracious, you can just feel the love she has for writing. And, you know, and in one of the prompts, there was a prompt of a child writing in a classroom. And you can see how dear writing is to her. You know, it's a shelter in the time of storm, like a comfy sweater. You always keep me warm. I love that metaphor of a comfy sweater, a road map. Saving me from the hands of harm, you know, just a place that she goes to feel comfort and, you know, to help her through life. So wonderful write by Ashini about writing, and a wonderful ode to writing for sure. What did you think, Laurent?
I agree with you. It was a wonderful ode to writing. I especially like the SoundCloud in this case because it gives us English. With an accent from a country mm-hmm. where English is not, well, I assume, the first language, but certainly a strong second language. She speaks it beautifully, and you're right, she speaks it with passion. And it's interesting to me to hear the vocal inflections of English words in the way that she rendered them. Their emphasis on different parts, it almost seemed to change the nature of the poem. Basically based on how the words are delivered. It takes nothing away from the poem. It just takes on added interest. I thoroughly, and I mean thoroughly, enjoyed this piece, this appreciation of writing as an aid to yourself. It's psychotherapy one-on-one on very intimate terms. Excellent poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Laura. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this. And I, too, really like her reading. I hope she continues to give us SoundCloud because she really does have such a passionate reading voice. This is amazing. It's a heartfelt line. And I like how she shares on the importance of writing in her own life from childhood and beyond. And I love the title, Ode to Writing, and This is beautiful all the way through, but I particularly like these lines. During my childhood days, you've helped me to find strength while being a trusted companion and a loyal friend. I think that is wonderful personification of writing, and this is very well done.
Wonderfully said there, Pam. And, yeah, it is. That's a great part there of the poem that you chose. And feel your thoughts.
You know, I thought this was a wonderful brevity, and I thought that the it was very well expressed thoughts on writing. I thought each stanza was nicely done. I was having a heck of a time. I grabbed the second and the third stanza, and I went, no, just put the second stanza, and Pam just quoted the second stanza. But I think they were all equally as good. You know, it's just a matter of plucking one. I think the first one was just as good as the last one, and the center one was really good. So just a great piece all the way around, Oisin. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job here.
Well said, Phil. It was a wonderful comment. And a wonderful, wonderful poem by Oisini, and, you know, wonderful, wonderful audio that she provided. And it was great, great to hear her voice. So much commitment in that voice. My gracious, just love her voice in that SoundCloud. So great job, Oisini, and thank you so much. And the next poem I have up is Jenny the Deep. And Phil, your turn, my dear, to give that a read.
Okey-doke. Love comes and goes, but the love of a child stays. By Jenny the Deep. Daddy, play catch with me. Mommy, please read to me. I'm only young for so long. Help me grow up strong. Feeling young and alive, a child's love is an overdrive. What a shame to make their light hide when the future of life is their ultimate ride. A child's love is stronger than glue. Mine make dark gray skies turn bright blue. Some love comes, then it goes away, but a child's love is here to stay. Little ones grow up in just a blink of an eye. Like a rainbow, let their potential shine. With wonder and awe, share your time over life's obstacles. Help kids to climb. End poem.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That was a wonderful read, Phil. And, you know, it is a parent's job, you know. It's not the kid's fault that they're there. So it's the parent's job to assure them that they grow up strong, they grow up with their full potential, and, you know, they keep that their wonder and their awe and yeah, and they learn to climb. They learn to climb through life, you know. So wonderful write here by Jenny. What did you think, Pam?
This is a lovely write by Jenny. Yep, I'm here. but, yeah, this is a lovely write by Jenny. I really like the lines. A child's love is stronger than glue. Mine make dark gray skies turn bright blue. Some love comes, then it goes away, but a child's love is here to stay. I really enjoy and appreciate the sentiment in those lines, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Laura, your thoughts?
Well, it's almost as if a child's love is altruistic. There's no hidden agendas. And children need that helping hand up. They need to be given at least the opportunity to shine as bright as they can. Child's love is here to stay. It is absolutely such a strong thing. You know, anybody who's had kids can probably look back at some moments and regret. But for the most part, having kids is a real blast. What a wild ride that is. And you're never ready for it, absolutely. Like Hatch would do, read to me. Those are time-honored things. Dad plays Hatch, Mom reads. That's the way it should be. It's just, this poem gives me warm fuzzies. I like it.
Warm and fuzzy. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Gives us a very heartfelt ride on parenthood for sure, and a child. And for our next poem, I'll get Lorraine to read it. It's by Dear Catcher, and it's called Clothesline.
Let me try this one with my glasses on, okay?
Time to try that. Just kidding.
Don't be taking any pot shots at me. Clothesline. Daddy gave back at small churches. College trained vocal major. He qualified Minister of Music, Westminster Choir College. And G.I. Bill, surviving flying missions over Germany. Cursive writing overwritten in quick radio man's block letters. He only ate with a large spoon, slept in separate beds for the less frequent nightmares. He coaxed comfort ye from me, opening the Handel's Messiah. Contrata, my brother following with every valley. Singer, sister singing, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Her husband following my trumpet solo at the last trumpet. We sang half at Easter, the rest at Christmas. I still set it up on YouTube and no one is around. Croak out the sounds, solo karaoke. Crash on the runs in every valley. Don't remember mom, a solid alto, solo before the congregation. Her ministrations kept father going. Laid down her life for him. I hear the comb click in her teeth when she needed both hands to cut my hair. Running between the billowing sheets, she hung on the open air, clothesline, drying in the sunshine, ate her top of the stove chocolate oatmeal cookies she made on Sunday nights. She did accounting bookwork in the midnight when the house was quiet. When the cancer came back, he took her around the world, doted on her for her last year. We sang the hallelujah chorus at her casket carried into the snow over 40 years ago. I still miss her song. End poem.
Oh, my gracious. You know, what a heartfelt poem. You know, this really breaks your heart. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a powerful and emotive write on the memories brought back by music. And I love the imagery and his attention to details. And yeah, that ending, it really breaks your heart, as you said. She made cookies she made on Sunday night. She did accounting book work in the midnight when the house was quiet, when the cancer came back. He took her around the world, doted on her for her last year. We sang hallelujah chorus as her casket carried into the snow. Over 40 years now, I still miss her soul. Oh my gosh, yeah, those are definitely lines that really pull at the heartstrings. And you know, but also there's the importance of music. I, you know, so many times you'll see families where there just seems to be this connection that they have through their enjoyment of singing and musical instruments. And you can see that connection within this rite. So very well done.
Absolutely. That connection is so, so strong, you know. I know when we get together, at Christmas or whenever at birthdays, we always have karaoke and we rock out to different songs, you know, and you know that we laugh at each other, you know, and so I understand that, you know, as being such a it reunites the family together, the music does, and he illustrates that so well in this poem. But also talking about the father in the beginning, well, I'll let somebody else comment on that part, but, you know, I thought that was just amazing, the way he talked about his father. Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, I'm looking at the form that was used. I don't see it labeled anything, but artistically, it's a very engaging outline formed by the words of this poem. It is, perhaps looks like a small person, a very large hat.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure, but it works for me. I don't normally like centered poems, mm-hmm. but it's such an interesting shape. You have to center. The mentions of the spiritual music in this are strong. It seems to be a musical family, and the sorrow. Remembering the mother dead over 40 years ago, killed by cancer, is a terrible thing. But there is no gnashing of teeth and wailing about the mother being dead in this. It's more of an appreciation as a remembrance of the pride that they had with her, the love that the father had, taking her around the world, doting on her for the last year. They, as a family, singing the Hallelujah chorus. It's a strong image, but it's I think the grieving is done at this point, but it doesn't stop you from missing a person who is still so strong and clear in your memory. Mother is a special person. Very moving piece.
Absolutely, yeah. I teared up there. So, and that wasn't the first time, you know, I read the poem. I read it before the show, and I teared up then too. And then hearing you read it again, I teared up again. It's amazing, right? And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a sad and a heartfelt poem. I thought the emotions were well expressed and shared with us all. The memories of a fine family held together by faith and music, I thought was nicely done. So thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, and well-penned piece. Very nice.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, dear Catcher. That was a real delight to have read that piece. And the next poem is going to be by Betty Page. And Pam, go ahead and give that a read for us.
Okie dokie. Bubblegum and Soda Pop by Betty Page. Summertime sweetest candies, unicorn horn, rainbow pops, rock candy, mints, paper dots, marine land in summertime, tide pools, high aquariums, real life mermaids who'd swim round, dolphin shows near tiki rooms, SeaWorld bubbles and boat rides, fireworks right at sunset, koi fish, bridges, waterfalls, colorful water fountains. They dance along to the music, dined at fancy restaurants, happy hour windowside, Sunday brunch in tiki rooms, mini strawberry mousse cups, assorted Japanese cakes, waffle cones filled with ice cream, Newport Beach Hotel, hot tubs, swimming pools with water slides, sun tanning in gazebos, virgin tropical smoothies, licking bubblegum ice cream, sipping on cherry soda, Matsumoto shave ice cones, Rainbow Bridge, Jimi Hendrix, Beach Boys Surfing USA, 31 flavors ice cream, tasted each and every one on tiny pink spoons. Rode bikes to Shakey's Parlor, got our favorite brunch buffet, fried chicken, pizza, mojos, playing video games all day, skated to ice cream arcades next to 7-Eleven, crystal castles, road blasters, Mrs. Pac-Man outrun, Tetris Centipede, Space Invaders, Bubble Boggles, Gauntlet, Spawn, Outrun, Castlevania, Paperboy, and many more. We'd skateboard down real steep hills, played at the park till sunset, rode BMX, skates, half pipes, fly high on my roller skates, zooming fast down to the mall, See's Candies, Hickory Farms, Round Table, Miller's Outpost, local old fashioned toy stores, retro candies, gummy bears, red licorice, sweet frosting, happy birthdays at Farrell's, family would dance and sing, drive-in movies, rock concerts, late night, campfires on beach, love body surfing the wedge, Corona Del Mar with Dad when I was a little girl, we camp along the seashore. We're just rock and roll hippies. Mama, she loved Malibu. I'd body surf all day long. Got snacks, Zuma's beach snack shop. Hung out with my grandparents. They'd let me pick some beach toys. Then we'd walk down to the shore, collected colored glass shells, sand dollars, rare rocks, starfish. These are my favorite times. Laguna Beach, Sweet Taffy, Jolly Rogers pirate ships, water play at Captain Kidd's, flew through the air down rope swings, camped up and down PCH, dined at Mexican places or we'd picnic on the beach, had family barbecue, vacations every summer, Yosemite, Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Little Licky Knot, Dairy Farms, U.S. road trips, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, night skies, luxury pools, casinos, intertubing down rivers, swimming neath clear waterfalls, fishing, bowling, mini golf, loved Leo Carrillo's caves, adventurously hiking, found hidden secret treasures, strolled down to the beach boardwalk, Venice Pizza Boho shops, carnivals, fun wild rides, parks, swimming pools, water parks, pool hopping after midnight, parties, liquor store, nachos, glass bottles, soda machines, penny gumballs, little toys, bouncy balls, rings, sticky hands, road quarter, merry-go-rounds, spun round on top Fern's wheels while looking at the ocean, Big Dipper roller coasters, Santa Monica art shows, dined at Third Street Promenade, went shopping at all the malls, candy stores with Swedish fish, watermelon bubblegum, Famous Amos, best cookies, Marina Del Rey, boat rides, long beach concerts, car racing, San Pedro, Hawaii food, Hello Kitty candy store, Japan strawberry swirl cakes, hot dog on a stick, kids meals, horse races, wine tasting, funnel cakes, pink lemonade. There's so many memories, cruising Hollywood to shore, my favorite summer time. End poem.
Bravo. Bravo. Bravo, Pam. That was a long read. And that was, I want to be your sister. I want this childhood. I want all those candies and all those adventures. Oh, my gracious. Seems that her childhood was just, like, really, really cool. You feel all the memories poured out from Betty in this right. Amazing, amazing, right? Awesome imagery and you know, reference to so many things. I remember Marineland. Everybody loved Marineland, or what was the song we used to play over and over again? Mm-hmm. So I remember going to Marineland. What did you think, Phil, of Betty Page's poem?
Well, you know, Pam's got to be exhausted because I'm tired from the workout. You know, I mean, poem took you everywhere and did everything. And, I mean, I was laughing because I'm listening to Pam and I'm going, wow. And I've tried to find it because I went down to comment right as she was reading. And I had no idea where she was, but all I can tell you is there's a whole lot ahead of me and a whole lot behind me. And I was like, there's kind of like the one that Laurent read the other night. Just saying. But so much was going on. I was like, wow, really? But I thought it was a great write by Betty. And there's a lot of smiles in the poem. You know, as you're reading things, you know, couldn't help but smile at some of the circumstance and things she shared and got to do. And I'm with you too, Naomi. I went in. Maybe it's a little
bit. Yeah.
But I loved all the imagery in the piece. So, you know, thanks for sharing, Betty. Great job.
Wonderful comments, Phil. And Laura, your thoughts?
Well, there are so many diverse references to things, societal tropes. It's almost useless to try and list them all. But on the whole, touched a lot of common things. The rock and roll, we're just rock and roll hippies. Mama, she loved Malibu. I'd body surf all day long. It's kind of an idyllic life, isn't it? Things you do for breakfast, things go to do for lunch, dinners at Captain Kidd, Berry Farms, U.S. road trips, all the wonderful little vacations that you can take in life seem to be rolled into one in this poem. Based on where one lives, there's so many memories. Who's in Hollywood to share my favorite summer times? It must be nice, Hollywood. You know, in Hollywood and Vine. As usual, this is a nice piece by our Betty Page.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Laura. I wish I would have went to half those places. Oh, my gracious. And Pam, do you still have breath to comment?
I do. This was definitely a smile-inducing write. It's funny because the first time I ever visited California from Wisconsin, I was 11 years old. Somebody brought up Knott's Berry Farm, which is not a place we have around here. Every berry farm we have around here is actually where you go and pick berries. It doesn't involve roller coasters. So that was just a complete learning experience. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. It had such tasty and mouth-watering imagery. It really did bring a smile to my face and was a wonderful nostalgic write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a wonderful comment, Pam. And, yeah, we have 3 minutes left, but I have a short poem here by Angel Blue, so I'll put it up. Pearl of Happiness, and I'll give it a read. When past reels a sense of elation scores, whirling to my childhood, clear sky brightens all over, cherish the honey of affection of everyone. Garden full of flowers, giggle and laughter scores, walked around the grove, watched the fruits and stole but fear thudding the heart, noddingness. And mischief was the slogan. Nodded, pretended to be good while parents had become wild. Only for 2 or 3 days, after some time one and the same again. Studies were times past. Fun and merry making spelt. Friends were the abode of jubilation. Tears flow when I think about the golden childhood days, flocking like birds and fluttering butterflies. Where are those days gone? Why not remain as child, dwell in joyous world? End poem. And yeah, I think she, you know, pearl of happiness. That's a great, great way to put childhood, in, you know, inside of a shiny pearl that shines. You know, shiny pearl, glistening, those childhood days. Wonderful write here by Angel Blue. And what did you think, Laurent, this write?
I really enjoyed it. The, wait a second here. I got to back up a little bit just a moment. That's the moment caught me by surprise. We're an Angel Blues poem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you've got to give me a moment because I missed it. I had my eyes closed, I think.
Okay.
Come back to me, please.
It's okay. It's okay. Feel your thoughts.
I thought it was a nice piece. I thought it was, what was that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay.
I thought it was a nicely penned piece, and I thought that her thoughts were nicely expressed throughout. It had a decent flow to it where she would start a sentence and she would kind of stop and then she'd move on to her next thought throughout the entire piece. It wasn't like it was a stanza. It wasn't like it rhymed. It was just wonderful thoughts all the way throughout. And I liked friends were the abode of jubilation. Tears flow when I think about the golden childhood days. You know, when you have a good childhood, next thing you know, you're an adult. The whole time you're a child, you say, oh, I want to grow up. And then you get there. And when you get there, uh-huh. You say, what was my hurry here? You know, I mean, really, because it's over. It's done. All that time you had to be happy and enjoy your childhood, you know, it's done. It's just done. That's all a memory now. But where was I at? Tears flow when I think about the golden childhood days. Flocking like birds and fluttering butterflies. Where are those days? Where have those days gone? Why not remain as a child and dwell in joyous world? Yeah, it would be nice if we could do that. That's for sure. But that's not how it works. You know, but nicely done. So thanks for sharing, Angel Blue.
Amazing. And I'll ask Pam and Lorraine to put their comments in writing because we're past the midnight now. And so I just want to thank everybody for writing for the show. And, you know, the other contest, well, it'll be my next show because we didn't get to those right. And thank you everybody for writing. Thank you Laurent for phoning in, and thank you Phil and Pam for being wonderful co-hosts as usual. So good night everybody.
Okay, great show Naomi. Thank you very much. Good night everybody.